T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, here we go. It's time on 92.9 The Game. I'm Thomas Mott, and we are here for the next 3 hours, 11 o'clock on the East Coast, following Mr. Andy Bunker. Marshall Parker's back as my producer. He's back tonight. He's back tomorrow. Marshall, welcome back. How are you doing?
I am doing well, sir. Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
Man, you had a long day, first off.
Yes, I did.
So I was in here last night until midnight, right? Was it midnight?
Yep.
I was here until midnight, and then you came in, so that means you produced the overnight.
Yep.
And then they needed someone to fill in on John and Hugh in the morning, so you stayed until 9. Is it 9 or 10?
Yeah, almost 9, yeah.
Yep, stayed until 9. Then you had to go work a second job.
Yep, straight there.
And then you got a little bit of sleep. You helped get my show ready to go, and now we're here with you until 2 a.m., but you're not tired, right, at all?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, I got the caffeine going.
There you go. There you go. Listen, I'm not tired at all because we have an absolutely jam-packed show. And every time Marshall and I seem to get together, the show continues to grow, and we have to sit down before the show starts and start, you know, crossing things out, moving things from here and there. We got, listen, John Michaels had he wrote an article in 92.9 The Game today ranking the top 10 teams in college football. We'll react to that in about 20 minutes. The NFL free agency is going absolutely berserk right now because it's the time when they can actually start talking to teams. And so ESPN, NFL Total Access, Shefty, Ian Rappaport, the Twitter is going crazy. We'll break down all those moves. And then in the 12 o'clock hour, Jacob Brandenburg, CBS reporter, coming back on to break down the Falcons' draft needs and who he thinks they should go with at number 14 overall. But first, I think we need to start where we started last night and starting with Atlanta United. Quickly, though, before I forget, we will be revealing the name of the show tonight. Everyone's been voting. I put this on not only on my Twitter, but my personal social media accounts. So all my friends have been voting. All my friends of friends have been voting. And we will be revealing the name of the show a little bit later on. Not just yet. You got to wait. But the new name of the show is coming. At Real Thomas Mott on Twitter, at mparker_radio. Marshall, listen, we started our show last night, and you and I were not together last night, starting with the five stripes, and we had to really break down Atlanta United. The callers were heated. I wanted to let them vent. I wanted to be their therapist. I wanted to let them let it all out because people were angry and frustrated, and I understood. And so we went, I had Caleb Johnson come in here because he was at the game as well, and we did our full first hour was just taking callers. And I loved it because I love whenever people call in. I love whenever we can talk about things we're passionate about. And obviously, Atlanta United drawing yesterday is a really, 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 really big deal. Now, like we have said, is you are a huge Atlanta United fan. And I was a little bummed we weren't together last night because I wanted your reaction. But I wanted to start today's show with your reaction to Atlanta United drawing with FC Cincinnati yesterday. People are mad. Like people are upset. And I'm not saying everyone's jumping ship because we're not. And I hope most reasonable United fans or not, but people are close. Like, they've walked up to the edge of the ship, and they've done that initial kind of look over the side just to be like, okay, how far down is the jump? Okay, it's not that far. I think I could make it. Where are you at? Give me your reaction to Atlanta United yesterday.
No, I am not ready to jump ship.
Good.
It is still early in the season. However, this is very disconcerting.
It is.
You know, I was sitting here this morning as John and Hugh were talking about it, and I didn't really get the chance to chime in. And plus, those guys don't even really know me because I'm still a newbie here.
Right.
But I'm not ready to jump ship, but let me explain. How many times when a team changes head coach or changes a significant amount of coaches, does the team take a step back, regardless of the talent that's there?
Often.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a huge UGA football fan. And that year that we transitioned to Kirby Smart. We had a complete coaching staff changeover. Now, Mark Richt had an absolute god-awful year the year before Kirby came on. So even though Kirby did better, it was still a very disappointing season for Georgia because we went 8-4 that season, even with our new head coach. But the point is, there is an adjustment period. Even if you have some of the best talent in the game, there's still an adjustment period where coaches are going to want to do things their way and they're going to want to change systems. And as a player, you have to adjust to it and you've got to get used to it. And you add new players, you add new talent, and that talent has to figure out where they fit within the system and how they get along with other players on the team. And there's just so many moving pieces and so many dynamics that come into play. That's where I'm at right now.
Well, and you make a really good point that how often do we see a new coach either leave and then a new one comes in, or maybe a couple of player personnel changes back and forth? I mean, listen, the Falcons saw this in 2016, 2017. I mean, this was Kyle Shanahan leads this team, and say what you want about Dan Quinn and Matt Ryan, but Kyle Shanahan was a huge, massive part of that Super Bowl run, right? Like it gets Matt Ryan to MVP type season, obviously. Everyone knows that. And then what happens? He leaves. He moves on to San Francisco. We bring back Steve Sarkisian, and Matt Ryan's numbers dropped. Like, this is, you make a great point, and this is something that I think United fans, should they have expected it? Maybe not, but they should have been a little bit more ready for it, is what I would say.
Yeah, I agree, because we're all in this together as United fans, and we have more than likely all experienced this same situation before with our other favorite sports teams, be it professional or college or whatever. And so that's just something that you have to be prepared for. And look, I know we made this incredibly insane historic run last year as Atlanta United, nearly taking the Supporter Shield, winning the MLS Cup, getting that invite to play in the CONCACAF Champions League. And nobody's headspace was ready for that.
So then
nobody really, I don't think people wanted to admit that maybe we're not going to have as good of a season because of all these changes that are happening.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. People didn't want to just, I'm not going to say look in the mirror. I just think people just kind of put it out of the back of their mind that, you know, maybe we could regress this year. It was like, okay, we were so good, and now we're just going to be, we're going to be better this next year, and then we're going to keep getting better and better, which, you know, it happens. The Frank DeBoer comments after the game, I'm sure you've heard them because we've been playing them like all week long, right? Or not all week long, all day long. I think we have the audio as well.
Yeah, but you know, they were a little bit spoiled with the results, of course, of last season. Everybody expected, and that's also normal. But, you know, everybody also saw what happened with Toronto when they played the Champions League last season.
There it is. Perfect timing. That, of course, was Frank DeBoer. If you haven't heard that one, and I'm sure everyone almost even listening at all to 92.9 The Game, you've heard it. That's Frank DeBoer after drawing with FC Cincinnati. He used the word spoiled. And Andy Bunker made a good point. I was listening to him during his show. I think during the hour number three, he said, you know, Frank DeBoer is Dutch. English is not his first language. So what if saying spoiled in Dutch and the translation is a little bit different back and forth? That's a great point. And I think Andy made a really good take there. What's your take overall on the word spoiled? Because I had callers. I played that on my show last night, and people weren't happy. Are we as Atlanta fans spoiled? I think yes, a little bit.
Yeah. It's complicated.
It is. It's a complicated relationship right now.
It is. Because Atlanta fans, if you're a fan of sports in Georgia and Atlanta teams, we don't get championships. It just doesn't happen here.
Which is a great point, which would then mean that we technically are not spoiled.
Right. So it's not that we're spoiled necessarily. We are slightly spoiled in the sense that, yes, for the last two seasons, Atlanta United has given hope to Atlanta fans, Atlanta sports fans, that, hey, there is something great on the horizon for this city and its sports teams.
The thing that I kept coming back to, as we're talking Atlanta United right now, 99 The Game, inside the Kia Studios, is that, for me, if you ask any team not named the New England Patriots or Golden State Warriors, like basically any team, hey, would you be okay with your team, insert your team here, Falcons, Braves, United, I mean, anyone in any major sport. Listen, Joe, would you be okay with your team winning the championship this year and then not winning the next 5 years? Would you be okay with that? And I think 99.99% of people would say yes. If you would have told it, asked this to Falcon fans, would you have, the night before the Super Bowl against the Patriots, if we would have asked Falcon fans, okay, if I can guarantee you'll beat New England tomorrow, but then you're not going to win the Super Bowl or even make it to the divisional round for the next 5 years, would you take it? I think every single Falcon fan would do the same. And we just get a little bit, we taste blood in the water, and then we're sharks, and we start swimming towards the blood, and we're like, man, this is what's going to happen. We are going to be good for years and years to come, because we do get spoiled by watching Tom Brady and the Patriots. Like, we sit on our televisions, sit at home watching our televisions, and we sit there and go, man, New England's there every single year. Man, Golden State is there every single year. Man, LA United's really good this year. Oh my gosh, we won. Why can't we be the next dynasty? And we forget that dynasties in sports, yes, they happen, but they don't happen all of the time. At all. Okay, I think we have, yes, we do have a caller. Preston is on the line. He wants to talk Atlanta United. Preston, you're on. What is up, my man? Talk to me.
What's going on, man? I beg to differ when it comes to coaching.
Okay.
I think systems should adapt to the players and not the other way around.
Okay, yes.
I think it's counterproductive to try to fit a square peg in a round hole and vice versa. So I definitely believe if you have a running gun type team, I don't care if we're playing soccer, football, basketball, whatever. You have to change your system to fit the players that's around you, or go out and get new players. I don't want to, you know, cast aspersions on this guy already. But another thing that I'm from Atlanta, by the way, so born and raised. So I witnessed a whole bunch of mediocrity pretty much.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know.
Life. So when we do get something like this, and we saying, okay, yeah, we behind these guys, we get a lot of flack for, well, it's okay, we'll get them next year. A lot of people say that we don't care, but then when we say, then when you show us what we have in Atlanta United, and then we have those expectations, we get clowned on then, saying that, oh, y'all's expectations are too high.
No, hey.
Go ahead.
Finish. I'll let you finish.
That was it.
Okay.
I was just saying.
No worries.
You know, she's just saying that expectations were too high.
Yeah. So. No, hey, listen, Caleb, thank you very much for your phone call. I really appreciate it. And listen, Caleb makes a really, really, really good point, is that we were given a product last year on the pitch that was better than anyone else in the MLS. And technically, I know we lost people. I know we lose the coach. I know we lose Al Marone, excuse me. But they've messed with the system. And like Caleb said, a square peg in a round hole with this formation, this 3-4-3, which hasn't seemed to work so far. Okay, listen, when we come back, half of the top 10 college football teams all have SEC quarterbacks, according to one of our own. We'll tell you how that works in just about 5 minutes. Keep it right here, 99 The Game.
And you put it in a song.
Back here on 99 The Game, apparently, okay, it's 3:11 today. Thomas Mott with you here in Marshall Parker. And Marshall Parker is telling me there's a band called 3:11.
Are you kidding
go
me?
Go ahead.
You really don't know who 3:11
I've
is.
I've never heard of 3:11.
No, you.
Like 3:11
yes.
Is the band's name. And that's who we're listening to right now. Hang on, turn it up for a second. I want to hear. No, I've never heard. What's this song called?
This is called Five of Everything. It was on one of their more recent albums.
3:11. Am I dating myself?
I really can't. Well, yeah, you are young. You are a baby.
Man. Listen, but I'm told it's 3:11, and we're going to play 3:11 basically all night. So if you love 3:11, tonight's the night.
I'm curious.
Like the band.
I'm curious how many people out there like 3:11.
You tweeted us, at RealThomasMott or at MParker_radio if you're a 3:11 fan.
Or was this idea of mine, like, just totally
beyond,
over everybody's
you do so much to make me sound better that whenever you decided to pick 311, I'm like, go, I mean, roll with it. I'm totally fine with it. And they don't sound bad.
You're probably thinking, I guess. I don't know what he's talking about.
I literally was like, I have no idea who this band is, but I know Marshall, and so he's not going to pick some garbage band. They sound fine. Have you ever been to a 311 concert?
No, I have not.
What's the last concert you ever been to?
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
Only because it's been so long.
Go ahead. Who?
You were probably like 12 at the time.
Who is? I've only been to like 3 concerts my entire life. I'm not a big concert guy.
I used to be a huge Dave Matthews fan. Not so much anymore. Still like some of the older stuff.
Dave Matthews.
Oh, man. You're...
I am
Thomas,
not,
if
I
you don't know who
Dave
Matthews
guy.
Band
I recognize
is, like,
the
you're
name.
Still going to kill
I really
me.
Recognize the name. The Dave Matthews Band. What's their like top
wow.
song? Give me their top song real quick. Like the name.
Ants Marching, Satellite.
Oh, boy.
Those are two huge,
hopefully
huge.
All the listeners are listening to, because they want to hear sports radio and not my knowledge of bands, because I think the last band I went and saw was the Zac Brown Band, because I'm from Texas. So
nice.
And they were actually really good.
I liked them.
They were really good. I didn't like who I was with, which is a story for another time, but they were a very good band. I've only been to like 3 concerts in my entire life. I'm not a big music guy. I'm not a big concert guy. I don't have Spotify. I don't have a Spotify playlist. I don't listen to music when I'm in the gym.
Oh, wow.
Nothing. I just listen to the weights clang back and forth like a crazy person. And so people can talk to me when I'm at the gym because I don't have headphones.
I guess that can be hypnotic.
So if you're trying to meet me, like, I'm still waiting for the time because, again, I'm very new, right? And I know I'm not famous yet, obviously. But eventually someone's going to be like, wait, are you Thomas Mott? And they want to, you know, say hi because they listen to the show, because I know you guys are out there. So if you're ever at an LA Fitness, that's where I work out, and you see a guy, a younger guy with a beard who doesn't have his headphones in, go up and ask if it's Thomas Mott, because I'm telling you, I'm the only person in there who literally never wears headphones in the gym. That's neither here nor there. And of course, we're talking about NFL free agency coming up in about 10 minutes. But right now, our own John Michaels from the afternoon show, or the midday show, excuse me, he put out a list on 929thegame.com, which you can check out right now, his college football top 10 list spring practice edition. I like that he said spring practice edition because, you know, we got G-Day coming up. What is it, April 20th, I believe, is G-Day? Coming up here in just a few weeks. But John Michaels has his list of the top 10 teams coming back into college football. And again, if you want to get in on the conversation, all you have to do is call our hotline, which for some reason I did not put the number in front of me, and so I have to pull the number in front because I have not memorized the phone number yet, and it's in my backpack.
404-741-0929.
404-741-0929. You know, I say it enough, you would think that I would know what the phone number is, but normally I have a big piece of paper in front of me.
You'll get there.
404-721-741. Dang it. 410929. Okay, that's the number. Again, if you want to get into the conversation, and let's just, I'm just curious what you guys think of the top 10 list. I'm going to read it to you real quick, and I have a couple suggestions. I don't think it's that hard to rank the top 10 teams right now, and I think John Michaels does a good job. Number 1, Clemson. Number 2, Alabama. 3, your boy Georgia. Number 4, Oklahoma. 5, Texas. 6 is Ohio State, 7 is Washington, 8 is LSU, 9 is Notre Dame, and 10 is Oregon. Where are the blaring mistakes here? I don't know if there are any blaring mistakes for me. I've said this before, I am not a Notre Dame fan. I don't think Ian Book's that great. I think he showed how great he technically was in the playoff game against Clemson, where he was pretty bad. I would move Notre Dame out. If I was going to move someone in, I'd probably move Texas A&M in. And I'm a Texas guy, and I know people hear that, but I can't stand Texas A&M. I toured there, and I was like, because everyone from my high school went to Texas A&M really, really quickly, just to prove. I feel like I have to continue to prove I'm not a Texas homer, because I'm not. Everyone from my high school went to Texas A&M. I went and toured it, and College Station, I'm sorry if there are any Texas A&M fans listening, I hated it. Like, it felt like a prison. It was not a pretty campus. It was out in the middle of nowhere. You had to have cowboy boots, some dip in your lip, and a big, giant, jacked-up truck with too big of an exhaust to go there, and I had none of those things. So I was like, no thanks, not Texas A&M fan.
You're missing the gun rack in the back.
There was
the
a gun rack and, like, some horns on your – some deer antlers on the front of your truck as well. That's literally Texas A&M in about 5 seconds. I would have moved them in. My issue with Texas A&M, I guess, going forward, is they play at Clemson, Georgia, and LSU this year. And for me, Texas A&M, every single time they've – every year since they joined the SEC – yes, they might have good teams, and I really like Jimbo Fisher, and their quarterback, Kellen Mond, is better than I thought he was going to be. He's actually good at throwing the football instead of just running. He's a lot better thrower than I thought. But You going to tell me that they're going to beat Clemson, Georgia, and LSU on the road? No, thanks. I don't think that they're going to be that high. But we're talking, you know, spring before spring practice, who's better? To me, I would put Oregon ahead of Washington because Washington lost a ton of people. And again, we're looking at John Michael's top 10 college football list right here, his spring practice edition. Make sure we get that in there. He has Washington at 7, and that probably stems from the fact that he's seen a lot of Jacob Eason. Now, I know you're a UGA guy, Mike Marshall. Are you a big Jacob Eason fan?
Yeah, Jacob Eason is fantastic. Like, that is a huge upgrade.
Right. No, I think it's a big upgrade over Browning, but they lost a lot of skill players. Like Myles Gaskin, who was their best running back for a very long time, gone, right? He's going to be in the NFL draft. For me, I think Oregon, I would put Oregon ahead of Washington. I like Herbert better than Eason. The Pac-12, is, as always, is a total toss-up. I mean, it's the most interesting... It's the most interesting conference in the fact that literally like four or five teams can really play ball here and they can really win. And we talk about the SEC. I mean, really? I mean, yes, Texas A&M's good. LSU's good. Auburn, Georgia. But in reality, in the end, it's like, okay, Alabama, Georgia are probably going to be the final two. I don't know. Is that a fair comment to make here in SEC country?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So, well, of course, because I put Georgia in there, right? So you're really like that. I think he has the top three.
If you said Auburn or Georgia or...
No. No, and of course, Auburn loses Jarrett Stidham, who I saw a lot at Baylor, and I loved. And I thought Jarrett Stidham was going to absolutely destroy, carve up, and dominate at Auburn, and he really didn't. And I don't know if that, I mean, it just wasn't what I saw at Baylor, because I was there covering Baylor. I was a sophomore at Baylor. I was on the sidelines as a reporter the year that Seth Russell was Baylor's quarterback, who could have won the Heisman that year, broke a bone in his neck. Then this kid comes in, Jarrett Stidham. We're away at Oklahoma State, throws three touchdowns and just goes absolutely berserk. And then he gets injured. And then they bring in a wide receiver to play quarterback. But I really like Jarrett Stidham, but he's gone now. So, I mean, Auburn, again, obviously should not be in the top 10. But I don't think that they're going to be, for me, SEC is Alabama and Georgia. I like having Oklahoma in the top 5. I think you can make a case here between Oklahoma and Georgia being at 3 and 4. Obviously Clemson, obviously Alabama. For me, 3A and 3B is Georgia and Oklahoma. To me, and I haven't asked enough Georgia diehards, and I need to get more and more into who Georgia has this year for Fromm to throw to, because he lost. I mean, three of his receivers are in the draft. He's losing Holyfield. Whereas Oklahoma keep CeeDee Lamb and has the number one and number three wide receiver prospects in the nation, and they're really good at developing wide receivers. I mean, Hollywood Brown is going to be a first-round draft pick this year coming out of Oklahoma. I really like what Lincoln Riley is doing at Oklahoma. I think that the Big 12 is a lot more, it's a safer path than the SEC, obviously, because of just how great the SEC is. But you and I were looking at the Georgia schedule before we went on the air, and the Georgia schedule's, it's not too bad. Obviously, the first three games are pretty good. Then you get Notre Dame here in Athens. And again, I don't think Notre Dame should be in the top 10, so that should be a win. At Tennessee, South Carolina, we'll see what Kentucky can do after a breakout season last year. Florida at a neutral site in Jacksonville. I mean, a neutral site, you're still playing in Florida. That's going to be really, really interesting. I think a lot of people are very high on Florida as well. But then, of course, at Auburn, and then you at least get Texas A&M at home. So I think Georgia's schedule has a lot of opportunities to be really, really good. The Big 12 is always kind of up and down. You might get a little bit better Kansas this year. Baylor, I know I'm a homer, but they're going to be a lot better than they were this past year. Matt Rhule has that place going in the right direction. And overall, I think Oklahoma still is going to be the number one team in the Big 12. Texas,
how about only one Big 10 team on this list?
And it's a Big Ten team that has a lot of questions.
Yeah, a lot.
Like the fact that they're at 6, they are the Ohio State. I mean, we can just say
gross.
That. But I know. I know people probably hate it when I said
thing.
That. I think it's kind of fun. Like, I love saying the U. I think I'm all for, like, cool names. And I think at least everyone's bought into the Ohio State. And like, during Sunday Night Football, all the players who played there are like, you know, Thomas Mott, the Ohio State University. Like, they have fun with it. So I'm okay with it. You obviously hate it, though. That's okay. But, like,
excuse me.
We get to see what Justin Fields is all about, and there have been multiple people at this station who think that Fields, and not just at the station, nationally, who think Fields is going to be an absolute wonder boy. But
I'm not convinced of that.
You aren't?
No. And look, I have nothing against the guy. And I was extremely optimistic about his time at Georgia, and I wanted to see him more. I think he was I think the quarterback situation at Georgia last season was maybe a little bit mishandled. I think Fields should have absolutely received more playing time. Yeah. But then again, I don't go to the practices. I'm not the coach. They see a lot more than I do.
Well, and that's a really good point. This happens all the time with quarterback battles because people are so blown away whenever like you play a quarterback, and we know that there's a backup waiting who might be just as good, and they always play the guy who seems to be the worst. Right, like whenever it's a rookie battle, like Baker Mayfield versus Tyrod Taylor this past year, everyone was like, "Why did Baker Mayfield not start the year?" It's like, do we really think coaches are that dumb? Where in practice, Baker Mayfield was obviously so much better than Tyrod Taylor, but they still went with Tyrod. I don't think so. The same was with Nick Foles and Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was better in all the practices. He was better in all their scrimmages. Like the reason, I mean, people are like, "Why didn't Nick Foles play more?" Because Carson Wentz was better. It's just when you got into a game, Nick Foles a little more calm, able to dish the ball a little bit more. And so I think whenever people are like, you know, why didn't Fields play? I think it's very obvious. Fromm was better, not just in-game, because we didn't see a lot of Justin Fields because Fromm played every single game. But Fromm was better than Fields at practice. Or else, you know, it's not like coaches have this diehard tie with some of these quarterbacks. Now, there are some who are like, that quarterback's my guy. I don't care who the backup is. I'm playing him. And that happens. But I don't think Kirby Smart did that. I think he would have put Justin Fields in if Justin Fields was ready and if Justin Fields was, basically good and ready to go. NFL free agency, and we're going to talk about this coming up in about 5-6 minutes. NFL free agency is going absolutely wild right now. Teams are spending big money. We got quarterbacks being signed. The Falcons aren't doing anything, which is kind of what we expected. But right now, NFL free agency is going absolutely berserk. And, of course, when we come back in just a couple of minutes, we're going to get into that. Quickly, though, this was funny. It just popped up on my Twitter. Russell Westbrook is in Utah right now. He's playing his most hated team right now. I mean, Russell Westbrook, dating back to last year, hates the Utah Jazz and hates their fans. And a camera caught Russell Westbrook yelling at a fan, quote, "I will blank you. I will blank you and your wife." So Russell Westbrook could feel some implications of that. Poor Russell Westbrook. The media gets after him so fast, but he hates the Utah fans. And they just go back and forth. And Utah fans, you know they love it. So a lot of chippiness there in that game. Again, NFL free agency news. We got to break down all the big moves when we come back. And we're still have yet to name the show that is happening tonight. Keep it right here, 929 The Game. We're playing 311 all night long, and my mom just pointed out that you played a Dave Matthews commercial, and she's right, because I noticed it too. You played a Dave Matthews PSA during the break, you sneaky little dog, and you yep. got it in there.
Yep.
We have a tweet that came in about 18 minutes ago. It's from Marty Funk, and he said 311 sucks.
Yeah.
So that's not very nice of him to say. Oh, man. Well, okay, wait. Here's a good question. You can tweet me this or tweet the answer at Real Thomas Mod. What kind of music do you guys want us to play when we come in and out of breaks? We'll just let you. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to pick it because who knows what you're going to pick. If it is a bunch of bad words, I'm not going to play it because we've got to bleep it all
yeah,
out.
That's
it takes
true.
Too long. Fun songs, right? Happy songs.
311's best stuff was their older stuff, and I had to go back and clean it because that was also the dirtiest stuff.
Okay. Well, that's fair. Does my mom know who Dave Matthews is? I don't think
she. If she knows who Dave Matthews is and you don't,
that'd be a problem. She's going to hear this because she's listening online.
We're
going
to have to revisit me being a producer if you don't know,
I know
some of
right?
these bands.
we're going to find out if my mom listens to Dave Matthews or not because I've never heard of him, honestly. So maybe they're so far, so good. I mean, the 311 sounded just fine, even though I'm trying to get the show. Like, I'm doing a billion things right now. Again, listen, the show name, I've been teasing it for, like, weeks, it feels like. But officially, the show name's been picked. It's coming up in less than 20 minutes. We will have you the official show name, which means everything begins again, right? That's like a trailer. Like, everything begins again.
What, like 12:04?
Yes, right around. Yeah, that's right. Right around 12:04, we're gonna have the show name. I was panicking today quickly because I wasn't sure if the two names were, like, I had two names, the top two names in all the voting. So I texted my boss to double check that he was okay with them. And at first he was kind of a little iffy on it. I was like, oh. Because, you know, just because I pick a name, it still has to be confirmed, right? But we talked about it, and he did pick. See, he chose which one he liked better, which was actually the one that I liked better, so it worked out in the end. But for a little bit, I was like, oh boy, we're just going to call it like the sports show with Thomas, which just wouldn't work. So, but overall, we will have a name for you coming up here pretty quickly. Thomas Mott again with you here inside the Kia Studios. What is it, 11:44 on the East Coast, almost done with hour number one. And of course, I'm back with Marshall Parker, my wonderful producer, who is producing an excellent show so far tonight. The NFL free agency, if you have Twitter right now, that's all that's been going down on your Twitter account. It's been nonstop. But there have been a lot of moves. Of course, it becomes official on the 13th, so that's when like we officially get the deals being signed on Wednesday. But today and tomorrow were the first days you could legally start talking with agents, and so people make these agreements back and forth, and so it's like official but not technically official. And a lot of stuff's going on, and just going down the list. Trey Flowers, the best, probably the best free agent pass rusher that was still left, 5 years, $16 million per season with the Detroit Lions. We're going to pause quickly. My mom says she has not heard of Dave Matthews, but she was able to pick out the PSA commercial. That's how intently Mama Mott listens to the show. She's listening so intently to the commercials as well. Hats off, but she's never heard of them. I was going to say, if she had heard of them, we would have a big problem. So that's why. She hasn't heard of them, that I haven't heard of them, because everything I've heard is what she's heard. Landon Collins, 6 years, $84 million. He's going inside the division, staying in the NFC East, and going to the Washington Redskins. This was a lot of money for a safety who really can kind of struggle in man-to-man coverage. I love me some Landon Collins. He's the best free agent safety available. He's better than Tyrann Mathieu, and he's a lot better than Earl Thomas is right now. And people are going to disagree with me on that, but it's 100% true. I know all my Cowboy friends back home are dying to get Earl Thomas, and I'm sitting there going, listen, you have a guy who is 31 years old and coming off a major injury and has been a locker room issue. I mean, it's literally like it's like an Antonio Brown type figure, except for Antonio Brown's not coming off of a bad injury. So I'm not a big fan of Earl Thomas. I'm almost glad Landon Collins cost so much for the Redskins, because now he's going to make Dallas pay even more to go get Earl Thomas, because they're going to have to. Their fans are going to explode. The Raiders are making some interesting moves. They went and probably got the best offensive tackle in free agency in Trent Brown. They gave him a 4-year, $66 million deal. I really like what John Gruden is starting to do with the Oakland Raiders. He is not messing around right now. I saw an article in The Athletic earlier today where I forget who wrote it, but he was making an argument that John Gruden does not know what he's doing. I would argue this is incorrect. I think John Gruden is knowing what he was doing. He might not have known when he first got there his 2-, 3-, 4-year plan, but he figured out really quickly that the 2018 Raiders were not in any place to win regardless of Khalil Mack being there. And so John Gruden went, you know what? I need to get my guys, and I need to get them sooner rather than later. So give me draft picks. I'm going to trust Mike Mayock, my new GM. I'm trust myself and my draft analysis process, and we're going to go get my guys. I'm totally fine with what the Raiders are doing right now. I think if they get two defensive stars with number 4 and number 24 overall, and then get an offensive playmaker, another one. I mean, Antonio Brown hinted at his nephew, Hollywood Brown from Oklahoma. If they add him to the mix, you're really setting Derek Carr up for a lot of success, and they're still saying that Le'Veon Bell could be in the mix. Of course, Le'Veon Bell has not been signed yet, and he was trolling us on Twitter a little bit, saying that he has so many options, it's hard to pick. Apparently, the Jets are still the number one team, as they have, I believe, the second most cap space available. I keep being told that Philadelphia is going to make a run at Le'Veon Bell. That's what I keep hearing. I don't see where they're going to come up with the money. You'd have to make some moves with one of their receivers, Nelson Aguilar. I know they just got DeSean Jackson, which to me is a great move. But I keep hearing that Philadelphia is doing their due diligence on Le'Veon Bell as well, so keep an eye on that. I'm very disappointed in the Indianapolis Colts, because the Colts are sitting here after a playoff season, right? The Colts are back on track, and they have the most money by far, like $100 million, and the only move they made on night one was Devin Funchess for a 1-year, $13 million deal. We've seen Devin Funchess here in Atlanta. He's Cam Newton's best target, I guess, but overall not a very good receiver. I mean, he's big. He's a big body. He can go make up the jump ball, but that's the best guy you're able to go out and get when you have $100 million. I understand not wanting to throw a ton of money around. You don't just want to throw money at the wall and hope it sticks. But at the same time, if you have $100 million, go and get somebody, please. Now, quickly, I know you're probably thinking, well, what have the Falcons been doing, Thomas? Okay, well, hopefully you've been listening enough to 929 The Game and you've heard enough of us talk about the fact that the Falcons have no money. And they have no money. They have no quote unquote sexy money, I guess you could say. They don't have enough money to go out and get anybody sexy. They have enough money to maybe get one of the lesser valuable offensive linemen who could be a starter and mix them in. We talked about this yesterday on my show. They don't have a lot of money. Right now, it's like between $6 and $8 million in free cap space. Unless they're able to get an extension done for Grady and Julio like right now, then they're not going to have enough money to really go make any moves. So this is going to be a boring offseason technically for the Atlanta Falcons free agency-wise. But remember, they've drafted well enough to where you got to stick with your guys who you drafted, the Deion Joneses of the world and the Julio Joneses of the world. And, of course, Matt Ryan already has his extension. You got to stick with who you are. I understand. We keep saying this. The Vic Beasley money, it's a lot. But when you look at the value of other free agent pass rushers, even a guy like Dante Fowler Jr. who re-signed a one-year deal with the LA Rams, Dante Fowler Jr.'s stats aren't impressive at all. 4 sacks last year. And he still cost more than Vic Beasley. So I know Vic Beasley cost a lot, and I think we could have probably moved on and gotten some other pieces. But in terms of how much we paid him, it was pretty competitive for the price of other free agent pass rushers. Okay, when we come back, the big reveal in 10 minutes. And, of course, we're going to break down one of the greatest plays in all of sports. That's, 5 minutes away? Big reveal, less than 10 minutes away. Don't go anywhere. It's coming. It's finally happening. We're going to have a show name for my unnamed show right now. It's Thomas Mott and Marshall Parker on 929 The Game.
More balance in your outfield. This guy might fit in pretty well. Throw to first, and the runner, Adrianza, gets back.
Back here at 929 The Game, you heard some audio, some Detroit Tiger audio, and Marshall sent me this video earlier today. Marshall, explain what people just listened to. This is one of, and I teased this beforehand, this is one of the most fun plays in sports that very rarely ever happens.
It's the old hidden ball trick.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, this was fantastic. This is, it's on Twitter, it's on Bleacher Report, it's all over the interwebs. Go out. Check it out. It's like, I don't know, maybe 20 seconds
it's
long.
Short.
Yeah, it's a short little thing, but it's really cool to watch. It's something you don't like. You'll see it every now and again, and
it's
you'll
rare.
See you'll see different little trick plays during spring training.
Yeah.
But you never really see it in the regular season.
The hidden ball trick, for anyone who doesn't know what it is, it's where, you know, like you try and throw a runner out at first, for instance, and instead of the first baseman throwing the ball back to the pitcher, he fakes the throw and waits for the batter to take a lead off, and then he calls him out. I did this in middle school baseball. I was playing second. Someone told me to try it, and in the middle of a game, I faked the throw. I waited patiently. The kid stepped off the bag. I pushed him further off the bag, and I showed the ref, hey, I have the ball, and I got him out. It was one of the most proud moments of my entire sporting life was doing the hidden ball trick and getting a kid out. I had to have been – I was so young. Like, I was less than 13 for sure. Like, maybe – 10, 11, or 12. I don't remember who told me to do it. I think my coach said, hey, Thomas, just try it once. So I went and I told the pitcher what I was going to do. So he faked catching it. This was perfect, like perfect acting. Fake catching it, and then I waited patiently because you got to wait. And then as soon as the kid stepped off, I like pushed him off even more, just kind of shoved him. And then I had to yell at the ref to be like, or the umpire, be like, hey, I have the ball. And sure enough, I got him out. Miguel Cabrera, haven't heard from him a little bit, the Triple Crown winner. Good for him. I wish we'd see him, but it's kind
of
hard
fun.
To do. It's fun. Okay. It's time. The big reveal, guys, is next at Dial.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.